you look special. Everyone is going to look at you no matter what, right? The groom, if he's wearing just like an okay suit, like you just look like another groomsman or like another attendee of the wedding. Like you should look special. Not that you should take away from the bride, but you should look like the honored person. Yeah.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and I am presenting to you once again a show that Christy recorded on her own with a very dear friend of hers. And hey, guys, this is a man talking on the show with Christy today because we are getting the perspective of a man planning his wedding with his soon-to-be wife. I think oftentimes when we are talking to all of you on the show, we kind of envision mostly women, but you can let us know if we're wrong about that because you know we want to hear from you. But we thought it would be great, you know, really beneficial and interesting to hear Andreas is his name. Talk about his experience so far. He is in the trenches. He is planning his wedding. I hope you all enjoy this show. Andreas, thank you so much for giving such great advice and being authentic and honest and just pouring your heart out to us, man. Thank you. We love you. Everybody, have a great week. Happy planning and enjoy this show.
My name is Christy Matthews. I am recording without Michelle today, and I am interviewing a dear friend of mine. He is recording this conversation in his house in LA, and we have been friends for 16 years. Did you know that?
Oh my God. Yeah. Has it been 16 years?
We're so old. We met in 2001 in college, but I wanted to get a perspective from a groom. And that is why Andreas is here. You so generously are donating your time. Thank you.
No, I feel honored. Can I tell you? I feel honored. I've listened to your podcast a little bit. and I just feel like a special, special little lady man. I mean, just a man.
Well, that is awesome. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. And this is so perfect for this episode because Andreas has not purchased his wedding band yet, and your wedding is in
about a month, six weeks.
And our sponsor, as you know, Andreas, is Manly Bands, and this is unique wedding bands for the distinguished man. That's what it says on their website. Well, manlybands.com. I think you count. You count as a distinguished man now.
I have enough gray in my hair.
I was gonna just
point.
Say that. You have some salt and pepper going on. So did you look at their website?
I did. I looked at their website, this morning, and I have to say, you know what? Like, I'm not, you know, blowing smoke. I'm impressed. I like the cool names. I like some of these styles that they're unique and they're not like the normal stuff that I've been looking lately. I've been looking on all kinds of different websites, and this is like, I feel like it's my generation's website.
Totally,
if that makes sense.
I think so too, and I think you should order one. And I have two bands that they sent me. One of them, Lance will be wearing very soon. My favorite one, the Blue Steel. Do you see that one on there? It has like blue on the inside, and it's really heavy, like solid ring. And I just think it's great. And then they sent me another one that is really cool. It has some of that like wood inlay. This is just an awesome website. They've got great customer service. You're looking at a 1-year warranty and a great 30-day return policy. And if you are like Andreas and the clock is ticking and maybe you haven't gotten your ring yet, they have like a 2 to 4 day turnaround for delivery. So
Oh, wow.
It's cool. And I think it's kind of one-stop shopping. There's some really cool styles there. titanium, tungsten, Damascus steel, with different things inlaid like turquoise or wood. And the average price is like around $150.
Yeah.
So you're not going to break the bank.
Yeah.
And if you go to manlybands.com and you end up purchasing something, we have a promo code for our listeners and you'll get 15% off.
I just grabbed my pen. Tell me
Andreas
the promo code.
Andreas is literally writing this down. all caps TBWPP. And that stands for The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, so 15% off. And yeah, they're really good quality. We are impressed and we are fans of manly bands. okay, so you're a groom. I kind of sent you some show notes, like questions I wanted to ask you, but
yes.
The main idea here is like, what is wedding planning like from a groom's perspective? And not just that, kind of like a typical groom, like you are not as involved as your lovely bride to be with all of this stuff, right?
No, I'm pretty much like, I like to call myself a sensitive bro. So like I'm a bro that, you know, I have feelings and
you
I'm
have
in
feelings.
Touch.
You're
and
expressive.
I listen. Yeah, totally. I cry at, you know, rom-coms. I'm into it. But I definitely like am clueless in this wedding planning stuff and defer to my bride.
And her name's Andrea. So yes, that's where we are.
It's super
They've heard
gross.
All the jokes.
Andrea and Andreas, the A's.
But she is doing most of the planning, but she's also, she's the kind of bride who's thought a lot about her wedding, right?
Yes. Like yes. She's been waiting her whole life. She has
there's
a very
vision boards involved.
Vision. Oh, totally. Absolutely. And like,
she's a Pinterester.
Oh my God. There's, yeah. I found out after, this is a quick, funny story. I found out after, we got engaged that she had had a Pinterest page with all the rings that she wanted. And it would have made my finding a ring so much easier.
Yes. Why didn't anybody tell you that?
I don't know. Like, and we share like a tablet for our TV stuff, and it was just like on the tablet like every day, but I see Pinterest pop-ups and I'm like, ugh, swipe
Click.
Away.
Yeah. Instead, she's like sending you hints, pretty obvious hints, and you were just clueless.
Yeah, totally clueless. But I lucked out because I ended up getting the exact same style that she liked anyway. Because
I was
just
going to ask you that. That's not luck. That's because you know her so well. So you.
That's exactly right.
And she has she's a stylish gal. She has a pretty specific look going on. So
totally, she's into vintage style.
She's a little Betty Page-esque, bit, right? Oh yeah, Betty Page. She's got dark hair. Is what I'm saying there. Bangs.
Yeah.
She's
an older friend who calls her a young Natalie Wood. You're like a young Natalie Wood.
Oh yeah, when my mom was like getting married, when my mom was in her early 20s, people said she looked like Natalie Wood. That I can see the resemblance there. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So she's just a little smitten kitten. You both are.
Yeah. We're super gross.
Okay. So the biggest thing in us as wedding planners, Michelle and I, when we talk about our clients, it seems like, and when we ask our clients questions for the podcast, it seems like the number one, two, and three things that couples like stress out about the most with wedding planning is choosing the venue, mm-hmm. whittling down the guest list, and money, 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 money.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. And yes, so, absolutely.
So for you guys, you decided on a venue that's essentially kind of a destination venue. Even though it's sort of close to you, you will be expecting people to travel out for a wedding weekend almost, right?
Absolutely. Well, and the strategy there, so I'm from the Bay Area, which is like San Francisco Bay Area in California, but we live in LA, so we have a lot of friends coming from LA and a lot of people coming from the Bay Area, my family and stuff. So we wanted to find a place that's sort of in between, that it's still drivable, but a cool destination. So we're in Central California.
So a little north of Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah, just north of Santa Barbara in a town called Lompoc, which is near Solvang.
Yes, I just did a wedding in Santa Ynez, and they did their rehearsal dinner in Solvang.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. It's like wine country, and
if you're going to ask people to go somewhere, this is a good place for two nights anyway.
Totally. Like, people from LA drive up there and do like wine tasting stuff all the time.
So that was your deciding, you guys like literally looked at a map and were like, what is doable for the majority of our guests? This is kind of the area. And then you settled on Lompoc.
Exactly. Well, she randomly enough, so Andrea works in sales and, you know, was chatting. She was excited about it, you know, us getting married and chatting about finding wedding venues. And then randomly was recommended this place. And it's not on any of the, like, it's not
big
online.
Searches.
It's not
oh,
a
wow.
big search. They've
it's not
just,
online at all?
Uh-uh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So because of that, and they've just started doing weddings there in the past few years, but it's all been word of mouth. So we got kind of lucky because it's a good rate. It's a great location. It's like significantly less than a lot of the
a more established.
Exactly. And it's beautiful. It's like it's a ranch on a vineyard. It's like a big barn ranch house, and they have a big outdoor space that people can dance, and you can kind of set it up how customize it however you want, which was, and then the owner of the property also works closely with a couple different vineyards nearby and has a side catering business. So it's kind of like a big one-stop shop package.
It checked all your boxes when you were looking.
Totally. And it's a family business. Like it's their grandfather owned this property, and it's like the daughters or the granddaughters now are running it. He's owned it since like, you know, 18 something.
Yeah.
And they all live on the ranch. It's cool.
Were you both immediately into it?
Okay. So Andrea found this place, talked to the lady, and she said, if you want it, you got to do it now, basically, because it's so competitive. So we put our deposit in after not seeing. We saw some sight unseen. We saw some photos and knew the location, and that was it.
Very interesting. Did that stress you out? Or were you
a little
just
bit.
Like, okay.
She was so happy that I was just like, whatever you want, baby. And I think that's a, you know, I think from
that's
the straight man groom, that is like what we, it's like, you know, my thing is like happy wife, happy life. Everybody says that to me. And so I'm just like, if you're happy, why would I be like, no, we need to go find another, like.
Yeah, let's keep looking.
Yeah, let's string this out for another month.
Well, okay, then on that. Because that's venue. That sounds like it was like kismet for this to happen for you guys.
Totally
then,
kismet. Yes.
Budget wise, this did not like shock you off your feet. You were like, we can't afford anything else now because we have this super expensive venue.
Right. Well, budget wise was weird because my sense of budget was different from her sense of budget.
What? I'm shocked by that.
Well, and also I thought like, venue should be, I don't know, like $2,000, which I later found out is like pretty unrealistic, actually.
Yeah.
Especially for that area. And
does it include catering, or is that part of the same deal?
You know what? That's like, I'm embarrassed to say I don't fully know.
Well, either way, it's a big, no matter if it does or doesn't, it's a big chunk of your budget for sure.
Yes. It's a major chunk of the budget. And it does include a wedding planner actually for the 2 months leading up, which is pretty great. And it includes, if you want to go with their caterer, it's a discounted price, like a heavily discounted price. That was the deal. But if you want to go with another caterer, then you're on your own.
So I always tell my couples that the venue informs so many of your other decisions, like that exact thing you just mentioned. It could
be that
it informs your caterer. But it also helps to make other decisions because now you know what your venue looks like. So, you know,
yes,
it's not going to make sense for you to be wearing a black tie tux. I don't know if it's casual or, you know,
totally.
If it's a ballroom, those kind of things. If it's indoors, outdoors, is there a plan A? Is there a plan B? How many people does it fit? And also the date. So it's like a pretty huge decision because all those other decisions are based on it.
But you're absolutely right. I mean, the venue, it's decided the date. There's a max capacity of 150, so that decided our numbers. We actually wanted more like 100. I wanted more like 100 people, and Andrea wanted more like 200 people. So it kind of
it compromised for you on that side.
Which so, also, like, I didn't realize Andrea's friends with 10% of LA. I'm not even kidding. Like,
yeah, if she cuts out like one person, then that cuts out all that group of friends, and she feels, or I'm speaking for her, but it's stressful. It's like, if I invite Julie, I have to invite all of Julie's family.
Exactly. Well, and I realized it was the same way for me. Like, I had a bunch of old coworkers, and there's like a couple favorites of my old coworkers I invited, and then I got text messages from other coworkers.
That's being awkward.
Like, hey, am I invited too?
Do you need my address? Okay, so let me talk about budget, since you maybe like were a little naive going into it, like what weddings cost.
Yeah.
Now you're 6 weeks out, so you have a much better idea about how much they cost.
Yes.
Are you guys like gonna be in debt for the next 5 years, or are your parents helping, or did you manage to like save some money and scrap together this thing, or what?
Well, we're paying for it mostly ourselves, and her dad is helping a little bit, and my parents sort of remains to be seen. I don't want to ask them, but I feel like they'll give us a generous wedding gift or something.
Or throw a check that then you can use for whatever.
Exactly. But we're at an age, we're getting married late in life. Like, I'm 36 and she is around that age.
And I think most of my brides and grooms, especially when I was doing this in the Bay Area, are in their 30s. And they're more established and they have jobs and they're living together already.
Yeah.
You know, there's no
it's the difference between California and the South.
And Texas, yes. And it definitely is. And it's been kind of, I've had to get used to that. So I'm much more used to working with couples you and Andrea's age.
Our age?
And there's something that comes with that. You're a little bit more, the wedding it tends to be, and this is a generalization, but it's more about the couple. It's more about you two. Like, what the hell do you want to do? And you kind of drop some traditions, and we're not doing that, and that's dumb, and I don't want to do that. I'm an adult. I've been a guest at 25 weddings now. This is going to be about us. So you kind of can make up your own rules a little bit more when you're a little bit older. So have you found that part to be kind of fun?
It is so fun and so exciting. Like, we are, we're doing a lot of, like, we're definitely doing it our way.
Good.
We're doing the music our way. We're doing the ceremony our way. It's just like, it's great. And yeah, like, her best friend is going to be the officiant. And then, like, I hope I'm not ruining surprises for people that are coming to my wedding, but we both have a love for steel drums, because here's our thing. Steel drums. Have you ever listened to steel drums and been in a sad mood?
No,
you haven't. It's like,
oh, you can't be sad.
It's just such a joyous sound, and we together.
That is really random.
It's so random, but we ended up finding like the best steel drum player in the nation, who's going to play and like do all these great cover songs and stuff.
And you're both just stoked on that.
Like, so it's so out of place too. You're at a you're like a barn in California, and then a steel drum. It's like so random and silly and fun. Like, so that's like little things like that that are very us.
So you are involved. It's not like you're taking, you said she's doing most of the work, and you referred to her as doing like the heavy lifting before, and she is more into it and has been thinking more about it in her life than you have. But it sounds like you know what's up, and you guys have made some decisions that are, like you said, very you as a couple.
Absolutely.
So is it dominating all your conversations right now?
No, it's not. Like, I'm involved to the sense that, like, she checks in with me and goes, what do you think about this decision?
Or she presents ideas.
Yeah, I mean, she's in sales, so I feel like she's always sort of selling me on whatever.
You're like, 10 minutes ago, I hated that idea, but I have since come around.
Yeah, and it can be frustrating too, because there are certain things that, like, I have sort of had to, like, I want to put my foot down and be like, this is something I want, and then she will like talk me out of it or tell me like, you can't do that, and because it doesn't fit with the way the other 10 things that I just decided already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my suit is a perfect. My tux is like perfect example. Like, I imagine myself. Look, I'm tall, dark, and handsome. I'm 6'2". I have dark hair. Like, me in a nice.
You're a little
tux.
Bit vain.
I'm super vain. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I'm super vain too. Yeah. So you thought about like how you're going to look and you want it to be your decisions.
Totally. And she was like, well, I thought, you know, it's going to be hot and it's,
you'd unbutton your collar.
It's in a barn. Like maybe you should have like a light gray suit. Like maybe linen. I was like, no, I don't want to look like, no.
Yeah. You know, that's something that Lance put his foot down, surprisingly. I mean, not put his foot down because I didn't necessarily have an opinion about it, but I was surprised that during our wedding planning he did have such an opinion about it.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is something you've actually, like, when he's envisioned the day, he is in a tux and there is no way. I was like, it's so casual, we're doing this, we're doing that.
Exactly the same way. It's,
he was like, I'm wearing a tux,
right? I want to look sharp. You have a like the dress of your lifetime on. You know what I mean? Like, you look special. Everyone is going to look at you no matter what, right? The groom, if he's wearing just, like, an okay suit, like, you just look like another groomsman or, like, another attendee of the wedding. Like, you should look special. Not that you should take away from the bride, but you should look like the honored person.
Yeah. There you go. That is some good groom advice, Dre. Good job.
Hey, look.
Okay, so put some thought into it. Like, if you want to wear a pocket square and a boutonniere and carry around a nice glass of whiskey all night because it looks so damn good in photos, do it. Okay, a lot of brides put a ton of thought into their hair and makeup, and we're hiring stylists, and there's like a 6-hour getting ready period. But what does the vain, straight cis male groom, what thought and time does he put into, like, hair? You have a little scruff right now. Are you gonna have that on the wedding day?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna have a little scruff on the wedding day because that is my preferred look, and that's Andrea prefers that on me too. Just like, you know, like I shaved yesterday, so there's like a 1-day shadow.
Okay.
Just to show off a little testosterone, a little masculinity.
Are you getting ready with some of the dudes you invited or your groomsmen or your dad? Have you thought that far?
I have not at all thought about any of that stuff, to be quite honest. Andrea has like a professional, one of her friends is like a professional makeup artist, like does Cara Delevingne's makeup and stuff like that. Like,
cool.
Super legit. And her gift to Andrea is she's going to do all her makeup and stuff. And Andrea had told me that she's also going to groom me.
That's what I was just going to say. I bet you get a little touch-up.
Yeah, so they'll probably, you know, fix my eyebrows and, like, make sure there are no nose hairs.
Make sure your
out.
Clark Kent hair falls perfectly the way they want it. Okay, well, that'll make you feel pampered, I think.
Look, I just want to look good. I can do it on my own, for sure. But
Sure.
Because I'm super vain. But, yeah. I don't want makeup, though. I'm going to let her know that. Like, I don't want her to put, like, powder on me or anything.
She might powder your nose a little bit, I'm just saying. And I don't mean that in a cocaine way. I mean that in, like, a for the photos way.
If it was a cocaine way, I just imagine my vows. I'm just like, yeah. And I'm, like, so, like, connected to you. And, like, oh, my God, this is the...
This is amazing. This wedding day is amazing.
Just, I feel like I'm inside your soul right now. Oh, my God, we're married.
Yeah, don't be that groom.
They're like, the vows took 45 minutes.
Yeah, wow, you didn't seem to have that much written down, but you went for it. Do you have groomsmen? As an older groom, did you ask several of your friends?
What's
the breakdown there?
This is a crazy thing, too, is, like, I thought, I was like, she has so many bridesmaids, and she wanted to match them. So, like, I was then, like, you know, grasping.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Scraping around for groomsmen. And, look, I have a lot of friends, too. That's the one thing about getting married older in later in life is that it's hard for invites, but it's good for your bridal party. Like, because I have so many friends at this point that I feel like are close enough to me to be called, you know, groomsmen. And I actually had 2 or 3 that, you know, I just was like, well, they live far away and I don't want to put them out.
Yeah. So it's like solid guys that you trust and who are down to spend the money and get there a day early and do the whole thing.
Absolutely. And it's definitely a motley crew, and a lot of them, like, don't know each other. They're from different points in my life. But I think that's kind of cool, too. It's, like, a great representation of, like, this guy knew me when I was 10 years old playing soccer. Seven.
Oh, seven. Okay. So that's on the larger side, I would say.
Yeah.
That's like typical average for a Texas Southern wedding with 25-year-old bride. But
oh
it's a little bit bigger for the kind of wedding you guys are having.
Yeah.
And you Andrea think that came down to Andrea. Okay.
Yeah.
She has, I can't not have any one of these girls. So you better come up with at least seven.
Yeah.
So you have it kind of like traditional seven and you said she has eight.
Yeah.
And you have one best man.
Yeah.
And he knows he's giving a toast and he knows the whole role. You didn't have to like tell him.
No, I didn't have to tell him. I hope he knows. Yeah. I think he knows. He'll give a toast.
Andrea's friend is the officiant. So are you guys helping to write the ceremony? And do you have any like, has that been hard? Do you have any advice? Like, is that something you're just putting off?
She like took a class and stuff. So I think she...
Who, the officiant or Andrea?
The officiant took a class, like, because this is her first time doing it.
Yeah.
But she's also a performer, and, like, I think she'll be... my worry, I guess, is that it won't... Because being an officiant, man, I've been... that's a really hard job, and I worry that, like, emotions may come into play. Because you got to kind of be the rock that doesn't start crying in the middle of everything.
It's a very specific role.
Yeah, so I don't know. We still kind of have to figure out that. Like, I think this upcoming week is going to be a lot about really the detailed run of show in terms of, like, what is she, you know, saying. What is she saying? When is she saying it? When are we coming in with our vows? Like, you know.
I definitely suggest y'all give her, the more you give her, the better in terms of, like, a solid outline and order of events. And then you're going to write your own vows, is that right?
Yeah.
To each other?
We're writing our own vows, yeah.
Okay. So you can always keep that part unrehearsed, but...
Yeah, that will definitely be... well, I mean, hopefully I'll have it rehearsed in my bathroom by myself.
Have you written anything down yet? I know that's like, you don't want to give it all away, but like, has that part been nerve-wracking for you, or are you...
It's totally... Like, at first I was like, oh, no problem, like... I'm a writer. I do stand-up comedy. Like, this won't be hard for me. And I've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And I'm really starting to get nervous because now the date is approaching. And, like, there's so many things that I want to say. But then I'm like, well, I don't know. Figuring out the structure of it and...
It's very weighted, too. I mean, this is very important.
It's so important. And I also... I know myself, and I will tend to,
play up to the audience a little
bit. Perform and play to the audience, because that's how I am in front of a group of people.
Yeah, this is different.
And this is just come from the heart, and don't worry about any of that stuff, which is really hard for me. Really hard for me as a straight man. Really hard for me in general. So,
Dre, you are a little background for our listeners about you, my dear friend.
Yeah,
you, like. You're a bachelor. I mean, up until meeting Andrea, really, like, I don't know. It's not that I thought, oh, Dre's never going to get married, but I definitely thought Dre's enjoying his life not married.
Yeah, I definitely had a long oats sowing period.
Yeah, and this chick changed your whole plan and your whole course. And from the first time you mentioned her to me or to any of us, like, we have a big group text going on from friends, you know, that we've had for so long. And
yeah.
It was like you turned a corner quickly and without looking back and was like, this chick is it. And it's happening kind of fast, but that seems like right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do suggest like you start writing it down a little bit, write it on your phone, write, you know, what you want to say. But please know you are going to see her when she walks down the aisle. Everyone else is going to fade away. I'm getting like teary just talking about it because I see my couples do this and I see the guys who are like, you're going to be just bowled away by her. And when she's up there and it's just the two of you, when you say your vows, you just look at her and you say them. You don't care about the person in the back that can't hear. And if the mic is not, you don't care about any of that. And what's
so
going to be
sweet.
Different for you is you're not going to care if anybody laughs or because I've performed with you, you live for that. And all of that's going to melt away. This is so different than anything you've ever done. I think you're just going to zero in on her blue eyes and just be lost in that. And later you'll be like, what just happened? I can't remember any of I can't remember any of
well,
that.
Well, and that brings up my second fear, which is just totally losing it and starting to
and like
cry.
Ugly crying.
It's just ugly cry and not be able to get through the words that I've written down.
Yes. Which and then I've your powdered seen... face is gonna look all messy and
well yeah. But I think yeah. I'm excited for it and nervous and all the fun things that come along with
So with writing there. Your vows, you don't necessarily have advice for anyone listening because you haven't quite done it yet, but you do feel it's like daunting, but it's exciting. Like you feel good about the process.
And like at Lauren's wedding, I asked actually some people at the wedding, like that had been married for a long mm-hmm. time, like for advice. And the resounding advice was just come from the heart. Just come from the heart. And everything else will fall into place.
Yeah. Because you know she's going to bang out some pretty good vows.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a competition, but you can't drop the ball completely.
Oh, no. I mean, no. Yeah, she's going to. And if I did drop the ball, I have the rest of my life to hear about how I dropped the ball. So
right. So if I were you, I would like, put some stuff on paper now. Because you probably think of things. You know, you can start with something simple, like the 10 things I love about you. And they're like the really random like high fidelity list. You've seen that movie, right?
Oh yeah.
How you move your feet together five times every night before you fall asleep, like that kind of shit. Everybody loves that because it's stuff that we don't know about you guys.
It's like it's just basically the speech from the end of every rom-com, like I love when you crinkle your nose when you're trying to
because I am a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. I literally cannot even say that without getting goosebumps and starting to like well up. I'm such a baby.
I think I'm gonna use that exact line. I'm a girl standing in front of a boy.
Yeah, and then be like, oh, scratch that.
I mean, sorry, strike that, reverse it.
Hey, has there been anything in wedding planning that you've like other than what you look like and then the vows, has there been anything that surprised you, like how much you actually ended up caring about it? Steel drums, that's kind of awesome.
Steel drums was cool. I you know what, the food, actually. I didn't realize how much I would care about the food. Because she is a pescatarian, so she eats vegetables and fish, for those of you at home who don't know what a pescatarian is. She really doesn't like pork products. She thinks pigs are so smart. They're sentient beings. They're adorable. She would have a pig if she could as a pet.
You really and didn't want to open up that.
I'm German. Okay.
Pandora's like, box. Pork did you? Oh, you
is
did.
Not, yeah. Pork is you 90% did. Of our diet. Like, I'm like, you can't take pork out of the mix. Like,
you're like, my family expects sausage on the wedding day, and that's that.
Yeah. Like, well, kind of. And Schnitzel. Also, we're like in a barn, and our catering option was like cool barbecue. And I was like, that's awesome. I love like delicious, good barbecue. Like, that would be so great. And she was like, well, I want to have food that I would eat on your wedding day. And I was like, you've heard all of the, everyone in the history of lifetime of weddings has said, you don't eat on your wedding day because you're so busy. You barely eat. And then at the end of the night, you're like scarfing down old Doritos. And
okay,
like,
what happened? What's the final menu? Is she gonna get some fish tacos on that menu or what?
Well, it finally ended up because of the caterer, like because of this deal with the venue and the caterer. It just didn't make sense to get a different caterer. It really didn't. Financially, it didn't make sense, and then logistically, it didn't make sense.
Yeah, if they're used to the venue, that is huge.
I mean, it's huge, and it's just gonna be so much more smooth on the day. So, so we went with the barbecue. And we're going to have them add in a fish option. So I think it'll be grilled fish or maybe fish tacos or something.
Okay. So they will, she will be able to, there will be something.
There will be something for her, but there will also be poor, poor pigs that are so, so smart being roasted on there.
Well, I guess it's a win-win.
I mean, it sounds kind
like
of a
you
win-win.
Like won she, a little bit more on that one.
It's funny. I definitely won a little bit more, but it was also like, what do we really, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
There are other decisions that she made that were probably more important to her that you just gave her free rein on. So
Totally. I gave her complete free rein on a number of things. Almost everything, to be quite honest. Because happy wife, happy life.
I am wondering, did you, and you don't have to say what it is, but did you know that you're supposed to, or oftentimes the bride and groom exchange gifts on the wedding day? Like
no.
A token? He's literally staring at me.
No, are you serious? Oh, no.
Okay, it doesn't have to be
what
a big
kind of
thing.
What kind
it
of
could
gift?
Be more of a cute thing. Like, I've had a groom give one of the his bride, a like notebook, and he had written on every page. It was like one of those small, you know, moleskin notebooks. Like every page was something he loved about her, or was like a part of their history of their relationship. Okay. Lauren gave Blake, the wedding we just went to, Andreas and I were just both at a wedding together.
Yeah.
Lauren gave Blake tickets to Hamilton.
Ooh.
That was pretty awesome. I was like, where's my maid of honor gift?
I want to see Hamilton. Lauren.
She gave me earrings. I'm wearing them. I love them, but I really want to see Hamilton. So a little token. It could be a necklace, or it could be something that you know she wanted on the wedding day that she didn't get, like a hair clip
like
or something.
Just a tray of fish tacos.
Yes. So I don't know. A lot of times the bride and groom or just write a really beautiful card. And then on the wedding day when she's getting ready with all of her girlfriends and you're not going to see her because she's getting ready and there's a big unveiling, you send somebody over with the card and gift if you do it, but the card is kind of where what counts, and it's something to keep forever. She can put it in the guest book she's making right now at Paper Source.
Christy, do you know about love languages? Have you done the love languages test?
I know about my own love languages, and I know what my guess is for Lance, but I cannot get him to read the damn book. But is hers handwritten?
You know,
cards?
There's like an online quiz. Andrea made me take it like pretty early in our relationship.
That sounds brilliant. I'm going to put a link to that in our show notes, and I'm going to look it up myself. Send me the info.
It's an online quiz. And so words of affirmation, I think, is one of the language or words. It's like gifting words, touch, like the way you show acts of service is another one.
Yeah, money, like actually buying gifts.
So gifts for us is like the lowest for both of us. Neither of us really care about gifts. For me, the biggest thing is like acts of service and like experience. Like, so you just got me thinking is basically, I think, but words are number one for her. Like she loves a good card. Oh my God.
Yes.
Like a handwritten
really put some thought
post,
into it.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
She
it's
sends
something
thank
along
you cards.
The lines of like, I can't wait to marry you today. I mean, because then she's going to be reading this card.
Ooh,
it's going to be in your wedding album, and your kids one day can read it. It's a way of like putting something that, because a lot of what you say at a wedding is gone after the wedding day.
Yeah.
If you don't have a videographer, and even if you do have a videographer, there's something very cool about a written down document. Like make sure that your officiant gives you a copy of the ceremony and you print it out.
Ooh.
Because you'll want to read that. I mean, I make Lance read our... I read our ceremony to Lance on our anniversary every year. I get out the old, like, wedding binder.
That is so Christy.
I don't know how much he cares, but it's a tradition for me, God damn it, and that's what we're going to do. But no matter what, it's a document. It's like a relic of your wedding day. So write her a nice card.
Okay. That's what
and
I'm
you can
do.
Tell her it was all your brilliant idea, and you never heard from anyone that you had to do that.
She's definitely listening to this podcast before, so all my tricks will be.
Well, I didn't write it for you. So I wanted to just, I guess we can wrap it up, but I want you to give your, like, now that you've been a groom planning your wedding for, I don't know, at least 6 months now, right?
Yeah.
What's your advice? And maybe you could even give advice for knowing that the people that are listening are most likely brides.
Yeah. Okay, so advice for brides, I think, is...
let your groom choose what to wear.
Well, yeah. But I think include your groom, because I think you'd be surprised at how much they would like to be involved. I think a lot of grooms just... the bride assumes, like, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He'll go along with it. But, like, utilize him and ask his opinion, because you'd be surprised at, like, how much he does have in his mind about how he would like things and where.
I feel like brides sometimes don't ask their groom because they feel like it's something you don't want to deal with and it will kind of bother you. And then maybe you'll have an argument about it. But have you... had the experience where you've like actually enjoyed these conversations with Andrea and been like, it's kind of fun figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, I have.
Or brought you closer, look,
some,
I guess.
Some conversations are more fun than others. But also, sure. Like, I feel like she's taking on so much, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And I feel like if I can help out, even doing a small, like, she was like, can you help figure out the transportation? Or, like, I helped with the website a little bit. And
yeah.
Little things that, like, she could check off her
massive to-do list,
and hand over to me. And, like, look, she doesn't fully she trusts me, like,
with
she
details.
Wouldn't be marrying me, but like she definitely has followed up a couple times on things that I was like, yeah, I got it, I'm not, you
oh
know,
yeah
a monkey.
With the delegating,
like, yes. Delegate to your groom to be, and because we can handle it, we're yeah. grown-ass men, can I swear
there you
can,
go
yeah
okay good, that's good advice. And also, and you can say honestly that it hasn't felt like a chore, or you haven't been like, ugh, Andrea, stop talking about it. Ugh, weddings suck. You've been
no.
taking a back seat, but you are along for the ride. You're into it.
For sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a big moment in my life as much as it is in hers. And I want to feel helpful too. I want to feel like I'm part of this and not, it's not all on her shoulders.
I love that that's where it's coming from. I think that bodes well for your marriage, because marriage is so much compromise. So you're on the right track. As a veteran of marriage, because I'm so knowledgeable. You're on the right track with, like, your instinct is to help get something off of her plate.
Yeah, for sure. Like, even if it's a little thing, like I licked all the envelopes that we sent
Listen
out.
To you little and sweetie.
But that's, like, so, it's so silly, and, like, but it was one less thing, and it took, look, 150 envelopes. My tongue, and I also was reminded of that Seinfeld episode. I was like, how cheap of envelopes did we get?
And it, like, made you, like, sit down and do something with her.
Right. We were sitting there together watching Fargo, and, you
she's
know.
Addressing them, handing them to you. That's
totally.
Adorable.
Yeah, it was really cute.
What are you most looking forward to on your wedding day? For real,
I'm most looking forward to the moment where she comes out in her dress. Like, that moment, I'm like totally gonna I'm gonna lose it. Like, that moment, like, where I just, you know, I'm up there and I turn and see her, like, cause she's so beautiful already, and then, like,
this day is going to be like...
I know this day is going to be amazing, but that moment will be, like, etched in my memory forever.
Yeah. I'm so glad. I thought that would be the moment that you would say. I'm so glad you said that. What's your favorite, like, element? Not that moment that you're going to experience, but, like, is it the steel drums that you're most looking forward to, like, sharing with your guests? Like, look what we did. That's so awesome and random.
Yeah, I'm excited about, totally excited about that. I'm excited about, like, the dance party, because we both are pretty fun dancing people. Unfortunately, she hurt her knee just a couple days ago really badly, like tore her ACL, all this stuff. So I'm hoping that she can get it strong enough in time to, like, dance at least close to the way she wants to dance, because she's, like, a G on the dance floor. But her energy will bring everybody up. But I'm looking forward to that, like, partying, dancing with everybody.
I can say 100% that a wedding is only as much fun as the couple. So your wedding's going to be really fun. Do you think we could do a post-wedding podcast?
Yeah.
Where we can get her take on, like, what the planning process was like versus, like, what the day was like. Because I really hope with all the work she's putting into it that she's able to coast on the actual wedding day.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, let's do that. That sounds perfect. And she, and also your lovely audience, will get to meet the best bride of all time.
Your better half. Yes,
my better half. She's very fantastic in every way, and she's gonna be so funny on a podcast. So,
and she's looked forward to being a bride for so long. I would love to hear her take after it, because sometimes brides get in a little bit of a funk after the wedding, because they're like, well, that's over now. But I don't feel like she's going to be like that, because you guys are going to be like, boom, 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 on to the next thing,
on to, you know,
baby making
and a honeymoon that we're trying to figure out right now as well, which is super exciting.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Christy. Oh, it was so nice to just talk to you. I miss you anyway.
I know. I miss you too. I'm working on trying to get out there. All right. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Andreas.
Thank you. Bye.